This episode of The Voiceover Social
is supported by Black Cat Music,
the only UK distributor of Studio Bricks booths.
Get 15% off
with the secret password
VO Social Podcasts. So I don't know how we should start, actually. It's quite hard to think of how to start.
Should we just go, hi, Leah, how are you?
I'm very well. Hi, Nick. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Look, now everyone knows who we are.
Great. We don't normally start with a proper start, do we? But here we are. This is a proper start for people who perhaps are joining us later down the line and haven't been with us since we started out with the podcast in the first place, or haven't done like a 3-day marathon listen to all of the episodes so far.
Where have you been?
What have you been doing?
We've been waiting for you in a non-threatening way. Like not in the hedge at the bottom of your garden or something.
It's come a long way since we first started out, hasn't it? It was very different. So in the early days, we ran, and we still do run, a social for voiceovers in the north of England, in Manchester specifically. And we just wanted people to come to the pub. So we would send out emails and stuff, but we'd also send out a link to a SoundCloud recording of us basically just going, hey, so come to the pub.
Come to the pub.
Lovely time. So then it sort of changed. We started interviewing people and playing clips of those interviews to each other, people that are like interesting to voiceovers, you know, and nowadays we've got to the point where we're tackling big topics like gender, for example. That's a big one. And recording episodes live at places like the Manchester Animation Festival.
I know, look at us getting around. I mean, getting around from
Getting around all the topics.
So far, actually, our most popular episodes by far have been, are you ready for this? Is a rundown. The ones that were about the impact AI is going to have on our industry. Mm-hmm. The one about the Mid-Atlantic accent, of course. And the one called How to Get More Work in Gaming, which was a live episode.
Yeah. It was, yes.
So if you haven't heard those, everyone else loves them, and I suppose you might too.
Yeah.
But looking at the listener figures, there's a possibility you might have missed some of our favourites from the earlier episodes. So we thought we'd take you on a quick tour of 8 of them.
Yes. So let's start with the most recent and go backwards. So the bonus episode between numbers 29 and 30 was a cocktail party where we asked listeners to send in their voiceover party tricks and we turned them into an actual party with clinking glasses and all that sort of thing. So here's a little clip of it. We join the cocktail party just as everyone there is listening to Stitch from Lilo and Stitch, aka Emma Stannard, sing a little song.
When friend embrace the day or now, until we meet again.
Well, that was beautiful. Who's next?
Simon Naylor. He runs the Manchester Actors Platform.
Oh, yeah.
Lovely guy. Hi, Simon.
Hello there. This is my weird didgeridoo trick.
Wow. Simon Naylor there, the human didgeridoo. Oh, God. Who brings a baby to a cocktail party?
Marnie Penning Coleman, obviously. That episode gets actually madder and madder as it goes along. But I am so proud of our listeners who sent in their stuff to be included. I just love it. I love that episode.
Yeah, well done, folks. Mm-hmm. Next, our continuity announcer episode number 29. I feel like I want the rundown music from the top 10 chart hits going. Here's it shouldn't be us. Anyway, here's a section where Mr. Channel 4, Pete Nottage, introduces a particularly creative example of his work.
So E4 Fest was the result of it being quite a nice day outside. It was a weekend. I was a bit fed up of being stuck inside. It was the weekend of Glastonbury as well. And I thought, well, why not have an E4 party? So I just made up a festival over the course of a Saturday afternoon pre-recorded all of the links, put some music and sound effects behind. I think I put the sound effects from a Notting Hill carnival from a few years back behind, and just made it sound like, you know, one of those festivals where everyone's having so much fun.
This is E4, where you're joining me here at E4's very own festival, E4 Fest, where, unlike Glastonbury, the weather here is tropical, and that's because it's a complete figment of my imagination. Over on the Balkan stage, in just a minute, Unpaid Electricity Bill will be performing an Unplugged Set, which sounds all right. If you're not here because it's not physically possible, you're missing out. Here's Big Bang.
God love him. Also in that episode, we speak to one of Radio 4's most famous voices, Zeb Soans, and we hear a collection of, well, quite frankly, horrifying anecdotes from the depths of the continuity booth.
Yes, including the experience of one announcer who was dragged out of bed in the middle of the night that Princess Diana died by a phone call telling her to get into work as fast as she could. Anyway, I absolutely love that episode. But possibly my favourite episode I've ever made is episode 27, the promo voiceover. It's essentially an audio diary of our trip to Scotland to meet one of America's most famous promo voices. And we really did our best to make it feel like you were coming along with us.
Yeah, we're like at the airport, we're walking around a castle, we're out by the sea, and then we managed to track down this guy called James, who runs a farm near the hotel we were staying at, who has a brilliant example of the local dialect, Doric. Of course I'm excited about this one. Here it is for you as a wee present.
Yeah, doing in the Ardmore's bar last night, it was really good. Okay, and then we had the haggis, there was the dance in the hall on Friday night. The Fnachty dance, the Haggis Neeps and Duddies dance, it was on Friday night, but then you were not here, and you only just, when did you have anybody in for it?
Yesterday.
Yeah. Saturday. Yeah. Sorry. I suppose you not really get to ken the accents till you come over, because obviously staying here till people sort of, they're nice, they sort of...
Yeah, they use the translating.
Yes, far out here, we just...
Why would you?
Exactly. Yep.
There's more of him in the episode itself, and so much more too, actually, just really about being a promo voiceover.
Yeah. So then next, in episode 25, we spoke to Doc Brown, who's well known for his work as a comedian and a rapper, also a writer and an actor, but possibly less well known is quite how much voiceover work he does. And so one of those jobs was an animation with Bear Grylls, and he talked a little bit to us about how he managed to play a teenager for that, despite definitely not being a teenager.
His best friend is this sort of black, nerdy American kid. And I would say there's been quite a lot of work, ongoing work with trying to nail that voice. Because it's so easy to get into, like, black American, and it's just, as soon as you lean into that shit, it's like, it's already got some edge to it. It's like a little too cool. You know what I'm saying?
Not nerdy enough.
It's not nerdy enough.
How do you nerd that up?
You know what I'm saying? And then how do you nerd that up without it just turning into some white thing? You know? It's just, now it's way too white. So I found that really needed
Did you work with
attention.
Bear on that then?
So Bear is like the kind of, he's like the executive producer, but he also narrates it. But the character of Bear is him as like 15-year-old, so they've got a much younger guy. Mm. And the other pressure in it for me is that all the characters are 14 or 15. All the actors are, they're not 14 or 15, but they're all like 20, 21, do you know what I mean? And I'm 42, do you know what I mean? So like, I've also got to think about de-aging my voice.
We also talked in that episode about how vagueness in casting feeds into the oppression of the working classes, about racism and sexism in voiceover, and how the ethical lines we draw for ourselves in terms of what we will and won't voice are sort of more blurry than we think, really.
I really enjoyed that conversation. I think it's probably the only episode I can think of where we've basically just played a long interview. We took some of it out, but not much. It was just stacked of stuff. To really cut it down. So then, where am I on the list? Episode 23 was with the puppeteer Warwick Brownlow Pike, who is Gonga on Sesame Street, and also the chap inside the Chamberlain on The Dark Crystal, the film. Here he is talking about what makes a voice Muppety.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because they don't sound like they don't sound like cartoons. They don't sound like Disney character voices. I don't know. I don't really know. I can't put my finger on it.
There's a lot of energy. Like,
so much
so
energy.
So much breath. Like, I was standing in front of the mirror earlier this morning, trying to do what I thought might be a Muppety voice.
oh my god, what are you doing over there? He's kind of angry. It comes out like this all the time, real rough and angry. And
well, that would be like a Muppet rat to make it. It's a Muppet rat.
Right, yes.
But they do take up a lot of energy. Like when I do my character Gonger on Sesame Street, it takes all of my energy. I just put everything into it and you're kind of exhausted afterwards. But I think all of those lead puppeteers do that. You have to put everything into it. You just have to like go for it, and it doesn't matter what's in your way, you're just going to do this. You commit and you have to kind of achieve that kind of level of energy.
That episode has an absolutely comprehensive trashing, by the way, of all your favourite cold and flu remedies. And also, do you remember, Nick, a very sexy rendition of the word Weetabix?
Oh, yes, well, let's not tease any more about that one. Don't want anyone getting too excited. And then, of course, episode 22 was our ode to studio engineers. And as part of it, we got producer Kirsty Gilmore to give us a quick rundown on studio etiquette.
First off, please don't touch the microphone or the mic stand or any of the equipment. Things get broken that way. Don't assume that the equipment in somebody else's studio is going to be identical to your equipment. Something that does do my head in is when people cough or sneeze or, God forbid, burp into a microphone. Just remember that, you know, that's going directly into the sound engineer's ears if they're wearing cans, or at least into speakers that are going to be relatively close to their head. And always remember, just assume that your microphone is always going to be on, especially if there's clients in there. You know, don't start talking about how much you hate the copy or somewhere else you have to be. Please don't bring your phone into the booth. Obviously, there's quite a few things that do my head in.
Wow. She could have shown a bit more passion about that. Also, in that episode, we hear from two more people who work as studio engineers about the things we're doing that drive them mad. And there's also a panic room that deals with noisy intakes of breath. So if you're finding that you regularly need to edit out your breaths, that's definitely one for you.
Yes. In episode 19, we spoke to radio commercial producer Adders, and I think this one was possibly one of the most enlightening episodes we've made. But the clip that we're going to play you is actually him introducing a recording of the actor Tom Baker, which, look, this is your warning, it's not suitable for anyone of a nervous disposition or, in fact, kids.
Tell us what happened with Tom Baker.
Oh, he's just a complete loony. He's just unhinged. He'll try and intimidate you, but I'm not for having it. You know, you do have to put him in his place, and he will eventually read the script. But he'll take a book with him, so in between takes, he'll take his headphones off. And then, of course, his headphones are on the floor, and you're going, Tom, come on, Tom. Oh, yes, what is it? So he's just an eccentric rather than anything, and he likes to sort of... I'll play some outtakes, actually. I remember we were doing something for Fords of Winsford, and he just went off on one.
Yeah, I mean, you don't think the address is as critical as I do. It's just that I've got no sense of direction. That's why I've got no children. Well, it was just that, you know, finally when it gets it, that's the critical bit, isn't it? You see, all the rest is this kind of lovely mood stuff and hysteria. But the crucial thing is, how do we get to paradise? That's the answer. I mean, that's the problem, isn't it? And so we can't have these tossers there with all great big throbbing stalks on, wanting to get to fucking Winsford. They said, what did he say? Take junction 12 off the M5. That's no good, is it? When you've got a throbber on and you want a new car and you want to get to Winsford, yeah, you know, to spend your bundle. Well, no, on the other hand, I'll do it your way, God.
That is my favourite bit of, like, an altogether excellent episode. Like, there's just no nonsense with Adders. I highly recommend it for proper insight into the radio commercial industry and how we fit into it, as well as some very enjoyably unguarded comments about jobs he's done and people he's worked with.
And finally, then, it's number 11, the sound designer. Here's Eloise Whitmore talking about some of the lengths she's gone to get the right sound for radio drama.
I was making a play about a drowning man, and we didn't have any sounds that sort of sounded like a man drowning. So I managed to persuade someone I work with to be my guinea pig, and I put them in a wetsuit and I mic'd them up with a very, very old microphone, it has to be said, made it as waterproof as I can. You might want to cut this bit, or maybe not. I did that by using condoms on the end of it. And gaffer taping them all on. and got her to take the microphone to her, and I got her to run along the bank of Trafford Water Park and jump as high as she could into the water. And then I said, stay down there as long as possible. And before you can't breathe, and they obviously come back up. And what you get from this recording is you hear a jump, you hear a whoosh of air, you hear the body slam into the water, you hear bubble, 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 bubble as the body goes down, you hear the body land on the silt, the play was called Silt, and then you hear the movement, gentle movement of the body on the silt, just moving backwards and forwards, and then on the actual tape you hear her coming up going, but obviously that's not in the play. And there was no other way to recreate that sound than actually do it. So that was one of my most memorable. I made that scene when the drowning actually happened. I made it sound as real as possible.
We're going to be hearing a bit more from Eloise Whitmore in the coming months. She's got some extremely interesting things to say that not many people know about, and perhaps not many people should know about. but that's all we're going to say about that for now. That's it. Just stand by. It's coming. So that's it. Thanks very much for joining us on our little...
I
genuinely can't say this word. Whistle stop tour. Yes, it's been lovely having you along. Do make sure to stick around in the future. And what else? What else, Nick?
Maybe people might want to get on our mailing list.
Oh, yes. We send out one email every month with very interesting things in it about the podcast, but also discounts, competitions.
Opportunities.
Oh, yes, opportunities. It's a lovely little thing, and it only takes about 2 minutes to read once a month, and you can sign up to it by going to the website, which is www.thevosocial.com, and there's a little button at the bottom of the page that you can click on to sign up there. I don't know what to say now. What should we say now?
Sign off, like we usually do.
Okay, well, I've been Leah Marks.
And I've been Nick Redman.
And we are the Voiceover Social. Together till the end of the road.